The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dr. Scott Youngkin for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Health Issues. The next half hour, I'll be reading articles largely from the Harvard Women's Health Watch. And the first article is an article entitled Feeding Body and Soul. This comes from the Harvard Women's Health Watch of August 2023. And it says, intuitive eating rejects a diet mentality and encourages us to pay attention to natural cues for hunger and fullness. How might you benefit? Feeling battered by years of dieting, you seemingly tried everything to lose weight, low calorie, low sugar, low fat, low carb, and frankly low satisfaction regimens that left you worse off and worn out. If the description fits, you may be drawn to an entirely different approach. Called intuitive eating, the decades-old concept is designed to help people stuck in the cycle of dieting build a better relationship with food. Fundamental is the notion that our bodies intrinsically know what, when, and how much to eat to stay nourished. But a lifetime of relentless messaging, from orders to clean your plate to parades of stick-thin models, have stopped many of us from listening to that inner voice. Intuitive eating rejects the rules and restrictions baked into a diet mentality, which often backfires, leading to yo-yo weight loss and gain. Indeed, evidence suggests about 80% of people who lose significant amounts of weight will regain some or all of it within a year. Instead, intuitive eating encourages us to simply eat when hungry and stop when full. It also takes into account your satisfaction, enjoying the foods you eat, which ironically may lead to weight loss. Gaining and losing weight for years and years can be counterproductive and is a hard way to live, says Emily Blake, a dietitian at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. Intuitive eating is a framework that integrates mind and body and encourages you to trust in your own ability to feed yourself. Another key principle of intuitive eating is rejecting the idea that foods are inherently good or bad. No longer are pizza, pasta, and burgers on the naughty list. Salads and fruit are not considered better. What people find over time is they end up craving a balance of foods. You'll start trusting yourself much more with the ability to eat what feels good to you physically, without any emotional distress or guilt. Once you take the morality out of food, you start noticing that while you do crave less nutritious foods at times, you also often crave fruits and vegetables. On the flip side, some people misconstrue intuitive eating as a food free-for-all, says dietitian Nancy Oliveira, manager of the Nutrition and Wellness Service at Brigham and Women's Hospital. When people have food freedom, some may choose more ultra-processed, craveable foods, Oliveira says. It's a little tricky. It does help you have a better relationship with food overall, but you have to pair that with common sense and solid nutritional information. You have to know that eating potato chips all day long will not help you feel better in the long run. For many trying to adapt intuitive eating, a weighty challenge is reacquainting themselves with natural cues that signal hunger or fullness and respond accordingly. Most people recognize hunger pangs, but a lot of people struggle with fullness, Blake says. It's not really the American way to recognize being full. Maybe it's easy to pinpoint that your rumbling stomach or lightheadedness means you need to eat pronto. But feeling full isn't the same as realizing you're bursting and queasy from overeating. Sometimes we use the term comfortably unhungry, Oliveira says. You feel mentally satisfied because you choose exactly what you wanted to eat, and you feel better afterward with more energy. To gauge your fullness, Blake suggests choosing a check-in point during your meal, like when you're halfway through, and taking a moment to assess your hunger fullness level. If you think you might be full, put your plate in the refrigerator. If you're still hungry 20 minutes later, you can have more. It's not a big deal. This helps you become more comfortable with these cues. It's like building a muscle, but you're building a skill. It's going to take a while to get there. Intuitive eating might result in weight loss, especially if listening to hunger and fullness cues lead you to eat less. A 2019 research review in the journal Obesity Reviews incorporated 10 studies that tracked the eating habits of nearly 1,500 people. Participants who followed an intuitive eating plan lost about the same amount as those on conventional weight loss diets and lost more weight than those who didn't change their eating habits. But Blake and Oliveira emphasized that weight loss isn't the goal of intuitive eating. Instead, learning to respect your body's set point, where your weight naturally falls when you're feeding it adequately and allowing for flexibility with food and movement, may be more realistic. A 2021 study in the International Journal of Eating Disorders suggests intuitive eating is linked with better self-esteem and body image. If people have a tough relationship with food stemming from a long history of dieting, they can feel better emotionally. This also makes it easier to accept where the body is in terms of weight. Intrigued? Oliveira and Blake offer these tips to incorporate intuitive eating into your lifestyle. Be mindful during meals. This means chewing slowly, pausing between bites, and avoiding distractions like screens. Stop feeling guilty. I don't care if you eat pepperoni pizza for every meal for a week. Don't beat yourself up for any of your choices. Keep a food journal, but skip the calorie counting. Track when you feel hungry and full, when and what you eat, and how you feel. You're shifting focus from nutrient and calorie content to why and what you're eating, and that's useful self-reflection, Oliveira says. Check your emotions. If you feel like eating shortly after your last meal, ask yourself if you're truly hungry or if you're bored or stressed. This can stem from emotional eating. Maybe you need a nice cup of tea, a warm bath, or a walk instead. Don't focus on weight loss. If you're focused on the scale, you're not going to listen to your body. At least for a month, just focus on your body's signals. Stay fueled. You're most likely to binge on cookies, for example, if you don't eat enough during the day, and then come home to a waiting box of cookies. Part of intuitive eating is making sure you're eating enough so that you're not trying to practice these principles while starving, Blake says. Seek support. Work with a registered dietitian or health coach for added insight. And be patient. Learning to trust your body's signals again takes time. There's going to be a lot of trial and error where you feel intuitive eating is not working, Oliveira says. And attached to this article is a smaller article entitled Four Nutrition Myths That Can Derail Healthy Eating. Despite an explosion of science-backed nutrition information in recent years, certain dietary myths just don't quit. But these misconceptions can stop us from incorporating necessary nutrients into our meals, derailing a healthy diet, says Nancy Oliveira, a dietitian at Brigham and Women's Hospital. Social media is largely to blame. Before the deluge of nutritional advice on Facebook, YouTube, and other platforms, people turned more readily to government guidelines and other trusted sources of health information. Now all these voices are saying, you can't eat certain things. It totally confuses people. It misleads and distracts them from what really matters. Oliveira dishes on which myths seem most pervasive and why they're wrong. One myth is that plant-based milks are healthier than dairy. Soy, oat, almond, and other plant milks are a great option if you're lactose intolerant or don't like cow's milk, but a cup of the latter contains about 10 grams of protein and 25% of our recommended daily calcium, while plant milks tend to have far less protein. Oliveira recommends examining labels, since milk of any kind may be fortified with protein, calcium, and vitamin D. If those nutrients are important to you, be sure to double check, as amounts can vary among brands, she says. Another myth is avoid all carbs. Carbohydrates are an important component of a healthy diet, but the type of carbs matter. Eat fewer refined carbs, like in cakes, cookies, chips, and white breads, which lead to blood sugar spikes. Instead, complex carbs from whole grains, legumes, vegetables, and fruit keep us fuller longer and deliver a steady fuel supply. These are good carbs, and our bodies need them, Oliveira says. Myth: fresh fruits and vegetables are healthier than frozen. Produce starts losing nutrients at the moment it's harvested, but freezer versions are typically flash frozen, preserving vitamin levels and preventing quick spoilage. Myth: fat is bad. Decades after a low-fat craze began in the 90s, some people still believe all types of fat are verboten, but saturated fat, which comes from animal products like red meat, is the less healthy artery-clogging choice. Replacing saturated fats in your diet with unsaturated fats from foods like avocados, nuts, seeds, olive oil, and fatty fish helps protect heart health by raising levels of HDL and lowering LDL. Your body's cholesterol levels rise from eating a lot of fat, particularly saturated fat, but eating cholesterol itself doesn't have nearly the same impact. Beware of labels that say no cholesterol. This could be a plant-based food that actually has a lot of saturated fat. Now here's another article from the Harvard Women's Health Journal, August 2023. And it's entitled Bonds That Transcend Age. Intergenerational friendships can yield surprising health benefits. Most friendships fall into the birds of a feather flock together category, joining people who mirror each other's traits and interests. But what happens when feathered friends are a very different age? An intergenerational friendship, which typically involves an older adult and one who's 15, 20, or more years younger, is a rare bird, but it can deliver a stimulating balance of experiences, attitudes, and approaches, and produce intriguing health benefits. Making friends isn't always easy, and the effort can seem harder still if age feels like a barrier. But confining ourselves to alliances within our peer group is a mistake, says Ronald Siegel, an assistant professor of psychology at Harvard Medical School. We're like fish in water with our usual social group, but it's potentially very limiting. Intergenerational friendships require us to let go of biases about generations and approach the other person with curiosity. You realize there are all different types of intelligence, insight, and awareness that are fascinating and rich, because the person came of age in another era. Like all friendships, those between people of diverse ages appear to help our bodies and minds. A study published online March 27, 2023, by the journal Social, Psychological, and Personality Science suggests good friends and good health go hand in hand. Lowering stress and blood pressure levels and taming spikes in blood pressure during periods of stress. When people have relationships in which they trust one another, they thrive, Siegel says. Younger pals might also help us maintain a more youthful outlook. Older adults with friends more than 10 years younger feel younger themselves and are more satisfied with the aging process. According to a study published online March 14, 2022, by the European Journal of Aging. And this self-perception can lead to health advantages that include living longer, earlier research suggests. While acknowledging this potential benefit, Siegel urges a broader view. I'm more inclined to want us to be able to embrace whatever age we are and live that to the fullest, he says. Friendship is more about sharing our gifts and learning from one another. Indeed, May-September friendships can open our eyes to social and cultural shifts and how they affect others at different life stages. We can learn enormously from each other because the same way that each culture has the wisdom and perspective others don't, each age group has that too, Siegel says. There is tremendous value in that. Siegel has noticed that people who don't have these types of bonds tend to cling to narrower opinions because they're simply not exposed to views that shake them up. But a flexible mindset is a cornerstone of psychological health. Life is always changing, and if you're only using the same old coping strategy for every challenge, it'll probably fail. But if you're able to adapt, including with aging, you're going to thrive, he says. Anything that makes us more flexible psychologically contributes to our well-being. If you're interested in making friends of diverse ages, Siegel offers this advice. Younger and older adults often work and mingle in the same place, whether the office, community, or religious groups, or exercise classes. Use your shared workplace activities as a springboard for a deeper connection. Take a chance. If you're thinking about reaching out, talking to someone, inviting them to lunch, connecting in some way, but you're afraid of rejection because you're a different generation, risk it and see what happens. Aim for genuine connection. Worry less about making a good impression and more about showing true interest in the other people's life and experiences. We should do this with same age contacts, but it's even more important when there's a bit of a divide based on age. This will form a feeling of trust and goodwill that leads to grabbing lunch, going on a walk, or hanging out together. Now, let's turn to the Harvard Heart Letter. This is the September 2023 issue. And we're going to start with an article called Heart Healthy Eating. How does your diet stack up? The DASH diet, along with Mediterranean, pescatarian, and vegetarian eating patterns, received the highest marks in a recent ranking by the American Heart Association. By the way, a pescatarian diet would emphasize eating fish. When you consider that 80% of heart disease can be prevented by healthy lifestyle, it makes sense to prioritize the one habit you can't live without, eating. But many people, including doctors, aren't sure which diets are best for keeping your heart healthy. This problem was the inspiration behind a recent scientific statement from the American Heart Association, published May 30, 2023, in the journal Circulation, says Dr. Frank Hu, professor of nutrition and epidemiology at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. People hear about all sorts of popular diets in the news and on social media, but they don't have a good sense about which ones actually have scientific evidence behind them. Neither do most doctors, as they receive very little nutrition training as part of their education. Note that although the word diet is often associated with weight loss, it more generally refers to the kind of foods people typically eat. Evidence-based ranking. The statement from the American Heart Association ranks 10 popular diets based on how well they align with the American Heart Association dietary guidelines, which recommend limiting saturated fat and excess carbohydrates, especially highly processed carbs and sugary drinks. The evidence comes from decades of randomized trials, population-based studies, and other research, says Dr. Hu, who served as a reviewer for the scientific statement. It's no surprise that all the top-tier diets are mostly plant-based, says Kathy McManus, director of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard-affiliated Brigham and Women's Hospital. Vegetables, fruits, whole grains, beans, and nuts are all naturally low in saturated fat. They're also good sources of fiber and contain a variety of antioxidants. What I like about the DASH and Mediterranean diet is they both include fish, which is a good source of both healthy fats and protein, she says. Canned fish like sardines, herring, and tuna are affordable options, she says. But these two diets, along with various iterations of vegetarian-style eating patterns, can also include a range of other healthy proteins, like beans, nuts, poultry, dairy products, and eggs. Another reason the top two diets get high marks is that they encourage people to limit refined grains and add sugars. A healthy dietary pattern should focus on whole, real foods, and limit processed foods, which tend to add extra salt, sugar, and fat to your diet, says McManus. Overall, vegetarian and pescatarian diets tend to be quite healthy, but not if people simply avoid meat and fill up on processed foods, she adds. I'm turning to page 7 here. Be flexible. Don't feel you have to abandon the familiar foods you grew up eating. Following cultural traditions and preferences is important for helping people stay with the diet over the long term. McManus agrees. You might need to make some adjustments to show how traditional favorite foods are prepared by swapping in a healthier fat or using less sodium. You'll be more likely to stick with healthy, lasting changes if you make small, gradual changes that are flexible, family-friendly, and realistic. So, for example, a diet that ranks very high is the DASH diet. That's the dietary approach to stop hypertension. It's also called the Nordic diet, and it emphasizes vegetables, fruits, whole grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, and low-fat dairy, and includes lean meats and poultry, fish and shellfish, and non-tropical oils. The things it wants you to limit are saturated fat, sodium, fatty meals, refined grains, added sugars, and alcohol. Now let's talk about some research we're watching. Again, this is in the Harvard Heart Letter of September 2023. And the first one is entitled, Exercise May Counteract the Inherited Risk for Diabetes. Getting regular exercise can help fend off diabetes, even in people with a genetic propensity for the disease, a new study finds. The study included more than 59,000 people who wore activity trackers on their wrists for a week. All were part of the UK Biobank, a large database of genetic, lifestyle, and health information from more than 500,000 people in the United Kingdom. After a median follow-up of 7 years, researchers found that people who did more than an hour of moderate to vigorous physical activity daily had a 74% lower risk of developing diabetes compared with people who did less than 5 minutes of physical activity per day. That finding was true even among people at high genetic risk for diabetes, who are 2.4 times as likely to get diabetes as people at low genetic risk. This study was published online in June 2023 by the British Journal of Sport Medicine. Also in research we're watching, seeing clogged arteries may inspire healthier habits. If people see evidence of plaque buildup inside their arteries, It may motivate them to take better care of their hearts, new research suggests. The study, which pooled findings from six randomized trials, included more than 7,000 people in total. Most received scans to check for plaque in the arteries of their hearts or necks. Each of the studies randomly assigned people to two groups. Half were shown their scan results. The others were either not shown the results or were not scanned. The study follow-ups lasted 1 to 4 years. Researchers found greater improvements among people who saw images of their plaque buildup, compared with people who didn't see scans. Those who did had lower cholesterol and blood pressure values at the end of the follow-up period, as well as lower overall risk of heart disease. That study was published online by JACC Cardiovascular Imaging. And also in research we're watching, there's a brief article, vegetarian and vegan diets may lower cholesterol levels. Eating mostly plant-based foods may lower blood levels of harmful fats, new research shows. This research was done on a total of nearly 2,400 people, and all of them were randomly assigned to follow a vegetarian diet, a vegan diet, or an omnivorous diet, which included meat and dairy. The average duration was 29 weeks. Compared with people eating an omnivorous diet, those following a vegetarian or vegan diet experienced average drops in levels of total cholesterol, LDL cholesterol, and apolipoprotein B of 7%, 10%, and 14%. Plant-forward diets tend to be higher in healthy unsaturated fat, but lower in saturated fat, cholesterol, and total fat, which likely explains the findings. Well, it looks like we're out of time for today's episode of Health Issues. Be sure to listen next time. We sure hope you enjoyed it. I'm Dr. Scott Youngkin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Health Issues is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. That's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.